The New Orleans Saints should consider investing their first round pick in a quarterback, but the fact of the matter is they might not even get the chance to. We got all that and a little bit of Lagniappe for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints.
You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Welcome into another episode of Locked On Saints, your daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks so much, as always, making Locked On Saints your first listen of the day every day. Don't forget, we're free and available on your favorite podcast app and on YouTube as well. And I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, your New Orleans Saints expert, credential member of the media, CrescentCitySports.com, USA Today, Saints Wire, Tuesdays on Locked On NFL. And here with you every single Monday through Friday on Locked On Saints. Today's episode of Locked On Saints is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It is professional therapy done securely online and available to people worldwide. And right now, we have a special offer just for our listeners. Get 10% off of your first month at BetterHelp.com/LockedOn. Tell you more about them in a little bit. But on today's episode, it's Mock Draft Monday. We've got 2 5-round mock drafts for you. The one that we'll do a little bit later is going to be kind of taking the safe route, but still building out the New Orleans Saints should they stand pat. But we're going to look at one before that about investing in weapons on the offensive side, which could include trading up for one of the better weapons in this year's NFL draft. But first, should the New Orleans Saints invest their first round pick on a quarterback? They should, but they might not get the chance to. So there's two different reasons why the New Orleans Saints, or two different sort of scenarios in which the New Orleans Saints would invest a first round pick in this year's draft on a quarterback. The first of which would be standing pat at 29, right? This is the easy one. You stand pat at 29, and then if there's a fifth quarterback on the build there, whether it be Hendon Hooker, or maybe like another one of these other guys a little bit higher, I can imagine, behind the top four, which would be Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, Will Levis, and then of course Anthony Richardson, that anybody's really between Richardson and Hendon Hooker. But some people have Tanner McKee up there. Some people even have Aiden O'Connell up there, the Purdue quarterback. We'll discuss him a little bit later and why I don't buy into that stock, but Hendon Hooker is probably the one that makes the most sense. So if the Saints feel really good about the medicals, if they're not too concerned or too worried about that, if Hendon Hooker's estimation of being ready for training camp is, you know, correct, then the Saints could potentially invest their 29th overall selection there, which is effectively a second round pick with a first year option. So that's the value of the first round pick. Fifth year option. So that's the value of the first round pick, because you don't get the fifth year option with any other selections. That's one scenario. The other scenario is that a quarterback that is of that top four, once again, Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, and then of course Will Levis and Anthony Richardson, you can have them in whatever order you like them, but very unlikely that this would happen. But if one of them were to fall out of the top 10, the Saints do have the requisite materials to trade up in order to get one of those quarterbacks. So if somebody drops out of the top 10, the Saints easily have what it would take to trade up to 12 with the Houston Texans, which would be very easy for the Houston Texans. A little bit of an easier pill for them to swallow, picking at both early on in the draft as well at pick 3, but then also having that 12th round or that 12th overall selection as well. Saints could potentially make a move to get up there and then be able to walk away with that quarterback, whichever one of those four were to inexplicably fall out of the top 10. We don't expect that to happen though. So that's the part here that is why the Saints likely wouldn't be able to draft a quarterback in the first round, right? Like, you're not too sure about Hendon Hooker's stuff yet. You're not too sure that one of those guys is going to fall out of the top 10 just yet. So what quarterback would you be taking in round one? Unless you're trading up into the top 10, which is incredibly hard to do when you pick at 29th overall, right? Now, why should the Saints consider drafting a quarterback, at least in the first two rounds? Well, it's a numbers game, right? 75 quarterbacks selected after the second round over the course of the past 10 years. One of them was a bona fide starter in the NFL, Dak Prescott. You got 15 out of 30 in the first round that are bona fide starters. You've got 4 out of the last 8 taken in the last 10 years in the second round that are bona fide starters. in the NFL as well. Shout out to Doug Mouton over at WWL for that research. So if you're going to roll the dice on a quarterback, you've got about a 50% chance of that guy historically, right? Typically based on recent history, actually panning out and being a bona fide starter for you. You've got about a 1.3% chance that a guy drafted in the third round or later turns into that. But the key here is it doesn't just mean that quarterbacks only pan out because they were drafted in the first or second rounds. You just have to make sure that anybody that is a quarterback that you're drafting in the first or second rounds, that they are actually first or second round prospects. Then you can walk away with somebody that could potentially be a starter for your team. But if you just reach for a guy, or if you end up feeling forced into going at quarterback, that doesn't mean that the draft position immediately correlates with success. The reason why those draft positions correlate with success is because the talent correlates with the draft position, not the other way around, right? So just because you draft them doesn't mean that they're going to be successful 50% of the time because you took them in the first or second round. So for me, yeah, the New Orleans Saints should invest that round one selection in a quarterback, but are they going to be able to? There's only really two specific circumstances in which that happens. When it comes to the draft, or you end up trading a first round pick for a quarterback, as opposed to doing it in the draft, you do it, you know, on the open market and in the trade market, but you're not going to do that for Derek Carr, who otherwise would eventually become a free agent if the Raiders can't land a trade deal. But you could go after a Lamar Jackson, who's reportedly $100 million away when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens and the salary, you know, and the contract that he wants. Now, look, are you going to get a situation here to where, you know, the New Orleans Saints are going to be able to come up with that cash? I don't know, but they did it last year, right? They were in a worse salary cap situation and they opened up enough room to go after Deshaun Watson, who would then have been a record-setting quarterback contract. This one would be a record-setting quarterback contract, and they're in a better salary cap situation than they were in 2022. So it doesn't mean that it's impossible, but if the Saints wanted to invest a first round pick in a quarterback, they'd need to either do it on the trade market or they'd need to get it done because a top quarterback fell out of the top 10, which just doesn't seem likely. So what could the New Orleans Saints do with their first round pick, picking at 29th overall? Well, we got two mock drafts for you that we're going to take a look at. The first one is going to be a 5-round mock draft in which I have a lot of fun. And this one is all about loading up the offense, going out and getting an unfamiliar weapon from a very familiar origin. So we're going to break that down as we continue on with today's episode of Locked On Saints. Today's episode brought to you by BetterHelp Therapy Online. BetterHelp has been a huge part of my life for pretty long time, actually, a couple of years now. I use BetterHelp all the time to, you know, do my therapy sessions and everything. BetterHelp has helped to connect over 3 million people with licensed therapists. It's convenient, it's secure, it's accessible everywhere, anywhere, because it's 100% online, which is one of my favorite parts about it. My other favorite part about it is that they really customize your relationship with the therapist. They really care about this. So you take a questionnaire, tell them a little bit about yourself. Then they find a therapist that makes sense for you from a similar background or with experience working in certain things. And that way, that therapist and you can have a real vital connection. And even if you don't, changing is free when it comes to BetterHelp. And again, it's 100% online. So you get all of the sort of benefits of in-person therapy, but you don't have to deal with the traffic. It's a lot more convenient, it's a lot more accessible, and it's a lot more affordable as well. BetterHelp has it all taken care of for you. Get unstuck with BetterHelp. You can also learn more and save 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/lockedon. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. .com/lockedon. Today's episode also brought to you by our friends over at FanDuel. The Super Bowl is right around the corner, and we want to make sure that you're getting in with our new sports betting partner here, the number one sports book in all of America, FanDuel. If you download the FanDuel app now, you're going to be able to place a Super Bowl 57 bet with the no sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win, which means there's no losing. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to the point spread to who will score the first touchdown, color of the Gatorade, all the fun stuff, and what we like to call betting Christmas here in the world of sports when it comes to the Super Bowl. FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, it is secure, and it's super easy to use as well. And best of all, you get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockedon to claim your no sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. right, family, continuing on with today's episode of Locked On Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. The New Orleans Saints have the fodder that they need to have a very fun and effective 2023 NFL draft. Now, barring them trading away some of those draft assets for a quarterback, which could potentially be a thing that the New Orleans Saints look to do, they walk in with the entire set of draft capital that they're set to have in 2023 and 2024, their possibilities are pretty, let's just say, exciting. So here's what I did, right? I wanted to have a little bit of fun. Last year, the New Orleans Saints traded up with the Washington Commanders in order to draft Ohio State wide receiver Chris Olave. So this year, I traded up to start off this mock draft from 29 to 16, which cost me some future draft capital, things like that. I got another fifth round pick back so that I could trade up with the Washington Commanders and draft Ohio State wide receiver Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Now, I know this is me being really greedy. This is me being selfish. Whatever. I'm here to have fun. That's what this first mock draft is all about. Why Jaxon Smith-Njigba? Well, he's already got a ton of chemistry with Chris Olave, and he's an incredibly talented wide receiver. He's somebody that very likely, if he, Garrett Wilson, and Chris Olave would have come out of college together last season, there's a chance that JSN, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, would be the first wide receiver off the board. That was a huge talking point that, well, this guy might actually be the best one of the three. So now you grab him, you bring him, you put him back across from Chris Olave, you move Rashid Shaheed around, really, you move any of these guys around because they can play all over the field. And Jaxon Smith-Njigba gives you a great complement to the speed that they have on the other side with good speed himself, a good route technician himself, and great in the contested catch realm as well. So you get exactly the type of wide receiver that you need opposite Chris Olave and along with Rashid Shaheed would be a lot of fun. This is the kind of move that you make if you don't sign a top wide receiver free agent. So let's say they don't go out there. They're not able to get Alan Lazard. They're not able to get one of the other top guys out there, but they want to make sure that they are investing these top 100 picks on premium positions. Bam. That's a big one for you right there. Wide receiver Jaxon Smith-Njigba to the New Orleans Saints. Next up, round two, pick 40. I went with North Dakota State University offensive lineman Cody Mauch. Now, Cody Mauch is somebody that is going to be listed as tackle depending upon where he's at, but because of his height, because of his arm length, all of those things, he's very likely going to be moved inside when it comes to guard when it comes to the NFL. At the Senior Bowl, he was excellent. They moved him all around. He was awesome, played extremely well. I don't think that people really raise their stock in the Senior Bowl unless they have an electrifying performance like Tajay Sharpe had Tajay Spears had over the course of the week and the practice week in particular. But Cody was somebody that was very, very, you know, staunch. He was not being moved off of his spot, very physical, reminds me of, you know, the offensive linemen that have been getting drafted from North Dakota State here over the past couple of years. They've been producing pretty well, and Cody Mauch is a big part of that. Now, he's listed as a tackle, so there's a chance that he could go in round one. You're seeing some mock drafts that are putting him up in round one, but because he's probably going to be drafted as a guard or moved to guard at the next level, it seems unlikely. Often interior offensive linemen usually push down toward the bottom part of the first round, and guys that you don't have a ton of tape on actually playing the position, but that you're having to translate them to a position usually knocks them out of the first round. So at pick 40, he was an easy grab for me. Round three, pick 71, Jerzon Newton. I love this guy. He's an interior defensive lineman from the Fighting Illini, standing at about 6'2", 295 pounds. He's very David Onyemata-esque, rather a compact but big guy. Here's some of the things that he did from the team website that are really impressive. He led the Fighting Illini, who were the number one scoring defense in the nation. He led them in tackles for a loss with 14, sacks with 5.5, quarterback hurries with 11, as well as fumble recoveries with 2. He also tied for the national lead when it comes to quarterback hits at 19, according to Pro Football Focus. And he led all Power 5 interior defensive linemen with pressures at 59, which was 7 more than the next person on that list at number 2. Once again, that is from Pro Football Focus, who also has him as the number 26th graded player in the nation amongst their College 101. So me being able to get this guy in the third round is awesome. Wrecking ball, really impactful, really effective player. And again, an exciting one because you want to really rebuild that defensive line. Now, I couldn't go throughout this entire draft without at least taking a quarterback. So I went ahead and went with Aiden O'Connell here. This is the fifth round selection, pick 148. Aiden O'Connell coming out of Purdue. There's a lot of excitement around him, but here's what I notice. When I hear people talk about Aiden O'Connell, what do they talk about? They talk about him being competitive. They talk about him being tough. They talk about his composure, all of that. But then when you talk about the weaknesses, what do you get? You start hearing things about arm strength. You start hearing about how he's kind of a statue, doesn't really create, not a very creative player, can't extend plays, things like that. And of course, 13 interceptions in 2023 is a bit of a red flag for you with a 57.2 QBR in 2022. So I made this pick to tell you that if the Saints made this pick, I would call it a bad pick. A lot of times we spend so much time going into mock drafts and trying to do the best that we can. Let me be realistic with you. If you're not drafting a quarterback in the first or second round, don't draft a quarterback. Don't worry about it. If those guys are not good enough to be selected in the first or second round, then they are not good enough to be selected when you need a starting quarterback right away. You want a backup quarterback? Aiden O'Connell's your guy. You have a starter that's already ready to go, but you want to get a young guy. You could try to develop behind him, a la the Tennessee Titans and Malik Willis. Draft that quarterback. Right? Atlanta Falcons kind of did it the wrong way, right? So, well, no, because even they had Marcus Mariota in the building. So I understand a little bit of the excitement around Aiden O'Connell. Not my guy. 6'3", 210 pounds. Good size, pretty good size. But he's just not the person that's going to make all the throws that you need him to make. Gets really pushed off of his spot in with pressure, things like that, because he can't move around. And we talked to Jeff Ireland last week. What did Jeff Ireland tell us? He said he likes the mobile guys. Got to be able to throw when you're hurt, but he likes the dual threat guys. Aiden O'Connell, very much not that. Next up, pick 152 in round five. Thomas Nkum out of Central Michigan, an edge rusher. I really like this guy. You like production when it comes to edge rushers. 11 and a half sacks, 13 QB hits, 12 tackles for a loss in 2022. And I know what you're thinking. The Saints have drafted guys who have produced at the previous level before, and it hasn't worked out at this position. Yes, but they drafted those guys in the first round. So it stinks when they don't hit. I'm making this selection in the fifth round with one of three fifth round selections because I got one back in my trade with the Washington Commanders. 6'4", 260 pounds. The New Orleans Saints have hired Todd Grantham, who is the former DC over at the Florida Gators, spent a year as a defensive analyst along with the Alabama Crimson Tide and Nick Saban. Is he the defensive line coach? Is he the secondary coach? We don't know yet, at least at the time that I'm recording this. But the Saints have hired him and added him as an assistant coach to the defensive staff. He is, as Trey Dean told me, the Florida Gators safety, he is Todd Grantham, a defensive line specialist. This guy, Thomas Nkum, matches what type of player Todd Grantham has very much liked in the past. You look at some of the guys that he worked with, like a Brenton Cox, for instance, right? 6'3", 252 pounds. So right around that same thing, but you've got the numbers. Brenton Cox is somebody that could be on the radar there, but two sacks, two quarterback hits, not a lot of production in his career. Thomas Nkum, a ton of production in his career. So you blend the two. You get Todd Grantham, if he is going to be the defensive line coach, somebody that is of the frame that he likes, but that has produced and put the numbers up on the board. And then finally, at pick 168, my last of the five round picks, Kenny McIntosh, the running back out of Georgia, about 5'11", 200 pounds, incredible pass catcher out of the backfield, would be a ton of fun to be able to put together with Alvin Kamara, but then also put together with, you know, Benjamin when Alvin Kamara is, we expect, going to be serving a suspension. He has a really great sort of combination of height, weight, and speed as well, which you really like at the position. Just needs to get a little bit better in pass protection as well. So that is our fun first round mock draft. Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Cody Mauch, Jerzon Newton, Aiden O'Connell, Thomas Nkum, and then Kenny McIntosh. But what about the effective one? What about standing pat, not necessarily putting together the big sexy picks, but still being able to rebuild your defensive line and shore up your offensive line and hit a couple of skill position players, including a quarterback that you'd like to have in the building? Well, we've got that coming up for you as we continue on and wrap up today's episode of Locked On Saints. Today's episode of Locked On Saints is brought to you by Blue Nile. Valentine's Day, it's right around the corner. I'm recording this on February 5th. Valentine's Day is February 14th. So it's coming right up, which means that you are going to see a little bit more love and romance in the air than usual. But I don't need to tell you and all you lovebirds all about this. I'm sure you've got all of your Valentine's gifts, all your Valentine's Day stuff ready. But do you have the perfect Valentine's Day gift? If not, BlueNile.com is the place for you to go with the convenience of online shopping and, of course, unique or jewelry just as unique as you are. Over at BlueNile.com, you're going to be able to find the perfect piece of jewelry for all of life's special moments or even creating the custom engagement ring of your dreams. Blue Nile has expert guidance, in-depth educational materials, and has unique online tools that place you in control. So don't forget the usual sort of, all of the usual sort of hassles of the jewelry shopping process and focus on romance, the part that's most important. Right now, you can save up to 50%, 50% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com for up to 50% off. That's BlueNile.com. Let's get it, Houdat Nation. Wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day with a mock draft that's not as fun as the last one, getting Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Kenny McIntosh and Jerzon Newton and all these guys that, you know, end up having like this big impact. But that still brings you impactful players. So this isn't me like trading up and moving all over the place and stuff like that, but still walking away with what I thought was a really solid draft here. So standing pat at pick 29 in round one, I did not reach for a quarterback. Did not. I went with Siaki Ika, the interior defensive lineman out of Baylor. Think Vita Vea with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. That's the type of player that this guy is. That's what he brings you. He's a good run stopper. He's a good penetrator as well. Does a lot of things that the New Orleans Saints are going to need help with. Again, no defensive tackles currently on the roster going into 2023. This is a position they absolutely have to address in multiple ways over the course of the off season. Pick 40 in the second round. I went with Florida State safety Jamie Robinson. I call him Jammy Robinson because this dude is physical. He is somebody that can play in the nickel corner spot. Think CJ Gardner-Johnson, but with like a little bit more of an even keel temperament that can go out there and disrupt, get mixy in the middle, do all the things that you loved about CJ Gardner-Johnson. But maybe not draw the flags, maybe not as many, you know, misses on some of the quicker sort of easy cut guys, stuff like that. So why would you go in and draft another corner or another safety? Well, you have the safety corner, nickel corner kind of versatility when it comes to Jamie Robinson, and you're going to need some help at safety in 2023, because even if Smoke Monday is healthy and ready to go at the beginning of the season, right, not just training camp at the beginning of the season, you're still awaiting Marcus May, potential suspension. You're still lacking at depth there outside of hopefully JT Gray, who they're able to get back. Now, you bring in a guy like Jamie Robinson, it helps you if Bradley Roby goes away, if Chris Harris isn't around, and you're not sure yet you're going to be able to cross-train either Paulson Adebo or Alante Taylor into the slot, so getting one of these guys that can kind of serve multiple roles for you, good idea. I broke my rule here, round three, pick 71. I went ahead and grabbed Hendon Hooker. I did that so I could tell you this. I spoke with several scouts over the course of the Senior Bowl that said Hendon Hooker is a top 100 prospect, but many of them had doubts about him being a top 50 prospect. So I mocked him here at 71, which is against the rule that I've begun to institute for myself, which is that if you don't draft a quarterback in the first two rounds, don't draft a quarterback. But Hendon Hooker is somebody I would take in the second round. So again, it's not just about the draft position. It's does the talent match the draft position? I would take him in the second round, but I'm taking him in the third round because it's in the range that things, you know, that these scouts have sort of looked at for him. Top 100, not necessarily top 50, at least at this time. We'll see how things change over the course of the draft process. So this would be me breaking my rule. Took him in the third round, but he's, in my mind, a second round prospect, so I don't mind Hendon Hooker at a later point in the draft. Round four, pick 115, Roschon Johnson, the running back out of Texas. Dude's an absolute bowling ball. You want somebody that is going to be, no. He's not a bowling ball. He's a wrecking ball. Let me respect that man. Size, power, vision. He does it all. He's got every bit of it. The only thing you're kind of worried about with him is that if you ever need him to go do anything that's not downhill, right, get around and catch an edge or win the edge, things like that, get to the corner of an offense, those things, you know, you're exchanging, right? you're exchanging to not have the outside zone guy so you can have the inside zone guy, or you want the, you know, the counter guy, you want the smash guy. That's the guy that you want, right? So if you want that guy, then Roschon Johnson's a great pick for you. He's about a little bit over 6 foot, around 225 pounds. So he's a little bit taller, but he feels a lot like Latavius Murray and what the New Orleans Saints had in him. So you want to see him develop maybe a little bit more as a pass catcher, but he's still a very willing blocker as well. And he brings you, actually, I'm going to say he's more than a willing blocker. Like, he's a really good pass blocker as well. So he gives you all those things that still make him, even though he's not a receiving threat, someone that the defense has to respect in the passing game, because he could just sit back and be a pass blocker for you and be an additional offensive lineman effectively, because he plays that role really, really well. Round five, pick 148. Emile Ekior Jr., son of Emile Ekior. He played 5 years in the NFL. He's an interior offensive lineman from Alabama. He's got 40 different starts over the course of his career. He can play left guard or right guard. Really, really physical. Has a ton of experience. Like I said, 40 career starts. And he is, you like him in the passing game and you like him in the run game. So he's a little bit of kind of a scheme versatile guy, where if you're run heavy, you're pass heavy, whatever, he gives you really good play on the interior. You're going to probably see him fall a little bit because of arm length, but we've also seen shorter, you know, short-armed guys excel in the NFL time and time and time again. So I'm not too worried about arm length, but you are going to want to kind of get him with Doug Marrone, get him with Zach Strieff, get him with Jarre Evans if he's back with the coaching staff next season, and build up his technique a little bit, build up those fundamentals a little bit. But once you do that, this guy could be a starting guard in the NFL early on. My homie Keith Sanchez over at the Draft Network loves him. That's the guy that helped to put together the 2019 LSU National Championship game. So I think I want to trust him. You know what I'm saying? I think I'm going to trust him. And so Emile Ekior Jr. is somebody that I am actually pretty excited about. And we'll watch more of, but I really, really like him and think he could be somebody that, if you're worried about Andres Pete's future, if you're worried about the contract, whatever, you've got Ekior Jr. who could potentially walk in and step into that role. If you're worried about injuries, you want that backup anyway, and you want to build up with starting talent, he's a guy that you could find that with. And then round five, pick 168, I went back to Central Michigan, took Thomas Nkum again, because I was tired of not taking an edge rusher. I feel like you have to invest in the edge rush position during this draft, and that's a spot where in that fifth round, because I got that extra pick in the first mock draft, I went with Nkum. This time I didn't have that extra fifth round pick, so I took him when I rolled back around at pick 168. And again, 11 and a half sacks, performed extremely well, has a bunch of numbers, matches the fit in terms of what the New Orleans Saints like at edge rusher, but has the production in the previous level and doesn't have all of the maybe fundamental things. You want to improve his hand fighting a little bit, but that's really about it. All right. So once again, that is Siaki Ika. That is Jamie Robinson, Hendon Hooker, Roschon Johnson, Emile Ekior Jr., the guard out of Alabama, and then Central Michigan edge rusher Thomas Nkum. So those are our two mock drafts for the day, and how the New Orleans Saints could really go about this. If they want to trade up and get spicy, they could do that. If they don't want to get spicy, they could stand pat and still find ways to really bolster their team. And then the quarterback market is one that's really, really interesting. Cut up tomorrow, speaking of quarterback market, should the New Orleans Saints trade for Lamar Jackson? Is that a reality? Is that something that can happen? And based upon last year's events and the pursuit for Deshaun Watson, let's just say that money wouldn't be the issue. We got that coming up for you on tomorrow's episode of Locked On Saints. Appreciate you as always making us your first listen of the day every day. For your second listen, make sure you go and check out Locked On NFL. Peter Bukowski is going to be joining us every single day next week, live from Super Bowl Radio Row. So you're going to want to know everything that's going on in Glendale, getting ready for the big game. If you're an NFL fan, Locked On NFL is the place for you. Appreciate you as always, y'all, for making me a part of your day, part of your routine, for saying yes to me and the show. As always, if you see me, say hi. Big shout out to Julius, who said hi when I was out earlier on a Sunday. Appreciate you, homie, for saying hi, and I'll be seeing you soon. And as always, if you need anything else around your New Orleans Saints, make sure you follow me on Twitter, Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know our family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how you're momming them. And trust you, that nation, I'll holler at you.